Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the service of worship for Knox United Church Nepean for Sunday, December 28th.
What?
How about Sunday, December 5th? I clearly mistyped that. Second Sunday of Advent, I got that right. The service is being recorded, so that one's caught, for release as a podcast later in the day. Folks in the sanctuary will be following the order of service on the overhead projector, and people at home can follow along the podcast order that was circulated on Friday. People tuning into the podcast at home will hear a variety of voices in the hymns that have been recorded during the pandemic, and our thanks once again to all of those who have shared their voices to make this possible. A lot of extra work has gone into the preparation of this Sunday's service, which will feature a close look at the hymn that we usually call the Huron Carol. In the newsletter, you will find a translation of the original words of the carol, and I will be making reference to that later in the service. My thanks to Allison Cranius and Jay Sonley for all that they have done to make today's service possible. Jay, for those of you who don't know, is chair of the Knox Rite Relations Committee. He was able to link us up with some invaluable resources. One of these is a man from the regional Rite Relations Network who does not want his name shared. He speaks Wendat, which is the proper name for what we call Huron. And he has joined the choir on Thursday night to help them with their pronunciation as they sang this carol over Zoom. We're grateful for the generous way that he has shared his time and his skills. I have been asked to make a mention about what's going on Christmas Eve, and the worship committee has had a serious conversation about that. What we will be doing on Christmas Eve this year is that at 6:30, we will be gathering here for the pageant, he says, using air quotes. The pageant will be pre-recorded and will be on the screen as well as be released on YouTube, so that people who are at home can experience it there as well. That'll run for, we're not sure exactly how long, but no more than half an hour. Then at 7:15, the communion and candlelight service will begin. People don't have to stay for both. People can come for just one or just the other or for both. We are alerting people to the fact that because of the way we have been doing things and because we will be trying to manage this with simply one service, registration will be limited for safety reasons, as it is every week. That may be more of an issue on Sunday, so or on Christmas Eve. So please make sure that if you'd like to go to one of those services or both, you register, and that way we'll know how we're doing for seating and spaces. One of the things that we hope to do at the end of the candlelight communion service, because of the restrictions we have on singing, is that we will take our little candles outside unlit, and we will gather outside and light them out there and then sing the first verse of two or possibly three hymns outside where it's safer. With our masks on, we're being super safe, but we hope to experience some Christmas music that way. So that's a bit of a taste of what we can expect for Christmas Eve. Are there other things that need to be announced at this time? Other good news, perhaps? Yep.
Good morning. As you know, today is December 5th, and this is the first of 3 weeks in which you can come downstairs and make a few purchases for the holidays from the craft group, the knitters, the sewers, and the jammin' ladies, who have a special exhibit down there, which is for sale, wonderful looking jams. All right, you'll notice at the back there is no mitten tree. That's because this is our 2021 mitten tree. When you buy your mittens, you just walk to the end of the row and drop them in. We will empty it as required and provide the things to the warm and woolies when they're ready. So here's one item. We can have 20 people downstairs at a time. Could you just show me with a little hand whether you were thinking of staying? Okay, then I think, yes. So I think that at the end, when we're leaving, You stop at the top of the stairs, sanitize your hands, and come on down. And you'll see that we have a little traffic route there for you, because the big thing is we're not supposed to get together and talk. So... So, come, please come and buy your wonderful stuff and go outside to the parking lot and talk, okay? Thank you so much.
Perhaps a more accurate way to say that would be, you get to communicate, but not visit. Visiting is outside. Any other announcements or good news or anything? Well, there's lots in the newsletter, lots of seasonal news. Pardon me?
Peggy.
Oh, Peggy, I'm sorry, I didn't see you. Yes, Peggy.
I'm trying to figure how long is it left? I have to go for 10 o'clock on Christmas Eve.
On Christmas Eve, the 7:15 service should not be more than an hour.
Oh. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, sort of a regular church service time. Should be about an hour.
Okay.
You're very welcome. I invite you to check out the newsletter. There's lots in there, and feel free to contact the church office for any kind of requests that you may have, including putting in your own prayer requests or good news items. The office number is 613-829-2266, or you can email at office@knoxnepean.ca. Let us now prepare ourselves for worship. Thank you. I would invite members of the Norman family to come forward and lead us in the candle lighting.
Arise, take courage, and catch a glimpse of peace.
The warm glow of the divine lightens our hearts.
We are together, not alone. In spirit and in community, we gather on the second Sunday in Advent in solidarity and with courage to partner for a world of peace, where all creation will flourish. Our witness is to and for peace.
Peace is real and possible. In solidarity, praying, work, and wait for its blossoming.
God of peace and possibility,
kindle in our hearts all compassion and love, so that the goodness, the just deeds, the common good, and the trust may flourish.
Bless us and give us all the hope for the future of peace, built on justice for all. In the name of the Child, the peaceful one. Amen.
Hi there, how are you doing? Pretty good? So, Charlotte, I have to ask you something. What have we got here now? Yeah, we've got candles burning. We've got, how many have we got burning? Can you count? We've got two. Very quick. Good for you. We've got two. Now, last week, we lit candle number one. That was this one. And that is the candle of hope. So that is what helps us to remember that God wants us to hope for good things and for the world to be better. Today, we light the candle of peace. Do you know what peace is? What's peace? Peace like when there's no fighting? Yeah, no fighting. When people love each other and care for each other and are good to each other, that kind of thing is peace. That's a good thing to have, isn't it? Yeah, it really is. So we're going to do this every week. We're going to light a new candle and see what it's about. So last week was hope. This week is peace. And next week, I'm not going to tell you. You have to wait for next week to find out. Okay? So you can wonder about that. But today, it's all about peace. So let's have a prayer about peace, okay? Fold your hands. Good. Dear God, thank you for peace.
Thank you for peace.
We don't like war.
We don't like war.
We don't like violence.
We don't like violence.
We do like to help each other. And we thank you that you give us love.
And we thank you that you give us love.
Love helps us to care for each other.
Love helps us to care for each other.
And with love, we have peace.
And with love, we have peace.
Amen. Thank you. You can go back to your seat now. Our responsive psalm for today is Psalm 122. It's taken from Voices United, page number 845. I was glad when you said to me,
"Let us go to the house of God."
And now our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem.
Jerusalem is built, a city bound firmly together.
There the tribes of God go, the tribes of God, to give thanks to the name of God, as was decreed for Israel.
There are thrones of justice stand, the thrones of the house.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you prosper.
May their refuges be within your walls, prosperity within your house.
For the sake of my kin and friends, I say, peace be with you.
For the sake of the house of our God, I will see your good.
Malachi 3, 1-4. The coming messenger. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old, as in former years.
I would just like to make an introduction here. The music that you are about to hear consists of the first two verses of Jesus Ahatonia, known in Voices United as 'Twas in the Moon of Wintertime. And those two verses are repeated first in the original Wendat, then in English, and then in French. This hymn was written in the Wendat language by a Jesuit missionary, Father Jean de Brebeuf. We are grateful to Heather Dale, the artist who has given us permission to play her recording in our service. The English version that she sings will not be familiar to you. It is a translation by another Jesuit, Father H. Kierens. While it is closer in wording to the original than the words that we're familiar with, it is still not an accurate translation. And I'll get into more of that in the sermon. All of the English and French translations available to us miss the subtlety and the deeper cultural meanings that are tied up in the original Wendat words. And as we hear this, I wish to acknowledge the irony of our situation. As we look for the origins and as we look for the original importance of this first North American hymn, written in an indigenous language by a European scholar using an adapted folk tune from France, we find ourselves listening to a version recorded by a singer with proud Celtic roots who worked hard with phonetic coaching to get her pronunciation right. We were not able to find a recording with original Wendat singers.
Jesus Ahatonia, Jesus Ahatonia, Estenia Hyundai Tanwe, Jesus Ahatonia, Anna Wate Hadoki, non Yonda Swan and Tak, and non Shens Quatri Hotat, non Yondi Hun Rashata, Jesus Ahatonia. Ahatonia, Jesus Ahatonia, Jesus Ahatonia. Ayoki Hong King Hashe, Ronya Yerono, Yom Tong Kun Tatian Ten Josen Zaton Laranya, Hari Hunna Hakwe Ton Josen Zaton Laranya. Jesus Ahatonia, Ahatonia, Jesus Ahatonia, Jesus Ahatonia. Chrétiens, prenez courage, Jésus sauverainé. Du mal à les ouvrages, à jamais sont ruinés. Quand il chante merveilleux, ses troublants à part, ne prêtez plus l'oreille. Jésus aimé, Jésus Ahatonia, Jésus Ahatonia. Oyez cette nouvelle dont un ange est porteur. Oyez âme fidèle et dilatez vos cœurs. mère vierge dans l'étable, entoure de ses bras l'enfant Dieu adorable. Jésus est né et ce sera ton Let Christian men take heart today, the devil's rule is done. Let no man heed the devil more, for Jesus Christ has come. But hear ye all what angels sing, how Mary made bore Jesus King. Jesus Adonia, Jesus is born, Jesus Adonia. Chieftains saw before Noel a star as bright as day. So fair a sign, the chieftain said, shall lead us where it may. For Jesus told the chieftains three, the star will bring you here to me. Jesus Adonia, Jesus is born, Jesus Adonia. Jesus Adonia, Jesus Adonia, Jesus Adonia, Jesus Adonia, Jesus Adonia, Jesus Adonia.
That is available online. There's information in the newsletter about how to access it and find out more about the music if you wish. And there is also in the newsletter a very accurate translation of the meaning of the Wendat words in English. And when you read through them, you can see why it's nearly impossible to sing them in English that way, because there's so much extra meaning, it doesn't fit into the notes. Our second lesson is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, reading from chapter 3, the first 6 verses. Hear again the word of God. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Etruria and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Here ends our lesson. Thanks be to God for these readings of the Word, and to God's name be praise and glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our salvation. Amen. For anybody who follows the lectionary, the second Sunday in Advent is always a bit of a challenge, because it's always about John the Baptist, who is a bit of a tough guy to preach about sometimes. We see him as the forerunner of Christ, as the messenger sent to prepare the way of the Lord. But John's not easy for us to deal with. You know, he's an angry prophet. He's calling the people to change their ways, to stop being unjust to each other, to stop abusing each other, to basically straighten up and fly right. This is a call to repentance, and it's directed to the faith community and its leaders. And that struck me as a really good cue for us today to consider, as a faith community, as modern Canadian Christians who have been shaped by our own history, that if we listen to John's message today, we will recognize that we have some things to make right. We have understandings that we've simply taken for granted, but that really need to be examined in the light of day. A powerful example of this is that favorite Christmas carol that we have just heard in a variety of forms, "'Twas in the Moon of Wintertime." We've been celebrating it now for a few years as the first North American hymn. The music can be haunting and beautiful, but its words have become a challenge. And our feelings become really mixed as we take pride in its history, its primacy as the first hymn, but as we wrestle with the condescending imagery that we find in the English words. The words that we know best come from 1926, written by Jesse Edgar Middleton. And they're not really what you would call a proper translation of the original words. They're a freely written interpretation, you could say, of the original Wendat. And what Middleton basically did was to take the idea of the nativity that he found in Brebeuf's original, and then he expanded it with his own notions of the noble savage, that very patronizing European approach to indigenous people that sees them as basically children without a mature culture. I'm sure most of you have heard one way or another in recent years that when Middleton calls God Gitche Manitou in the hymn, he is using a name for God that comes from a completely different culture and a different language, as if all things native were interchangeable. Even the words that we heard in the alternate translation that we had on the screen change the meaning of the original, however accurate that scholar was trying to be. There is no word for the devil in Wendat. What Brebeuf says is the spirit who held us prisoner like domestic cattle. Now, that's fine. That fits very well the Catholic theology that he was trying to get across from that century. But as soon as we use the word devil, well, centuries of images and ideas and medieval artwork flood into our minds. And none of those images would have been heard by the Wendat people who first heard this carol. None of that stuff would have been part of the message. Brebeuf also did not include most of the characters of the Nativity. The only ones he really used, apart from Mary and Jesus, were Matthew's images of the Magi. And Brebeuf would have done that intentionally, because the Magi have always, right from the days of Scripture, they've always represented outsiders coming to the light of Christ, led by God's star. That's the meaning, and that's why he, a good theologian, would have put that in there. Brebeuf himself lived among the Wendat for years. He worked with them and learned their language until he was fluent, quite fluent. He grew to understand their own existing spiritual beliefs. And it's been suggested that he chose the tune of this hymn not just because it was familiar to him, but because he recognized that there were rhythmic similarities between this folk tune and Wendat music that surrounded him where he lived. And he knew what a central and important place music held in the Wendat culture. When Brebeuf wrote about sky people, because that's the phrase he uses in the Wendat, we usually translate it as angels, but he was actually making a reference to the Wendat understanding that already existed about a spiritual dimension to life that surrounds us all the time. angels is not a good translation. I mean, it's fine for us. We think we know what it means, but it doesn't mean the same thing. Once again, when we hear it, we bring our 2,000 years of images and baggage. The Wendat people would have heard something very different from what we hear. What impresses me about this hymn in its original form is the way that Jean de Brébeuf was respectful. He immersed himself in the Wendat language and culture. He made a lifetime sort of effort to meet the people on their own terms. Mind you, he never lost his agenda. I mean, he was a good Jesuit, and his agenda was to bring people to Christianity. But he did not use typical European images and terms. If you look in the newsletter and see the words and look through to the last verse, you'll be surprised, perhaps. I mean, who among us would have expected, as a sign of respect, that these chiefs would massage Jesus' head with oil? And yet, it is a sign of respect. And hearing it, I can't help but recognize that this captures a sense that fits well with early books of the Bible, like the great joy expressed when people see oil running down Aaron's beard. I've never been into oil as a kid. I always thought that was really icky. But culturally, it matches in some ways. If you look at a good translation of the original words, you see that the core of Brébeuf's message is found at the end. Not just that Jesus is born, but that it's good news. He wants us to be part of his family. Part of his family. Now, that's a powerful and accurate New Testament image that, frankly, the European church has downplayed over the centuries. You see, the idea of Jesus as the Son of God, indeed, the idea of Jesus as God in the flesh, seemed much too elevated for us to comfortably claim Jesus as brother. The Bible says he is and wants to be, but people got squirmy about it, and Jesus got raised higher and higher, and how could he be our brother? And that idea of brotherhood never went away, but it lost its emphasis over the years. Brébeuf ignores that part of European history. And instead, he goes back to the original message, and he offers this call to family connection, recognizing how vital family ties are within the Wendat culture. Now, this isn't what you think of when you hear about missionaries going out into the field and dealing with people. This is not one of those repent or be damned kind of messages that we so often associate with missionary work. This is a much more respectful and meaningful effort to connect with people in ways that recognize and embrace their own spirituality. But then there's our history. Since this original song was written in 1642, the fight between the British and the French ended. Canada was formed. The Indian Act was written. Residential schools were formed. And in the 1920s, we in English turned Brébeuf's respectful hymn, with its admitted conversion agenda, into what I can only describe as a patronizing song about children of the forest free, that takes our own inaccurate picture of the nativity, where wise men and shepherds gang up together, which they never did in the Bible, and substitutes for those images stereotyped European images of First Nations people. I don't have a problem with the idea of evangelism as it was originally meant, the idea of sharing the teachings of Jesus. I mean, if we believe in them, if we believe that they are good, then they are certainly worth sharing. But the only way that we can do this sort of thing well is if we are respectful. If we try to relate to, understand the people that we're talking to. If we develop an appreciation for where they're coming from. If we try to see where our spiritual beliefs touch theirs. That's how a respectful conversation can happen. And the carol written by Jean de Brébeuf in 1642 was terribly enlightened by the standards of his age. And frankly, by the standards of our own age, too. There he went, part of a small group of two or three people, a vulnerable individual, into the Wendat lands and culture, and he listened for a long time before he shared. In the intervening centuries, so much of what has been done, of what we have done, has been done from a position of power. None of that vulnerability or sensitivity. We have forced our religious beliefs on others. We even have gone to the point of taking children from their parents and putting them into abusive situations. So I would suggest that the call of John the Baptist to us today is for us to wrestle with our past and our present, because all of this stuff is ongoing in sometimes hidden ways. To look and see how many deep valleys need to be raised up, how many exalted mountains need to be brought low, how much injustice still needs to be corrected in order to prepare the way of the Lord, in order to build a land where the teachings of Jesus can actually come to life. It takes an effort to do something like this, to examine a beloved Christmas carol and recognize that it has feet of clay. Okay, I recognize I'm mixing biblical metaphors atrociously when I say that, but you get the point. What else is there that we need to examine out there? How many other basic assumptions do we need to challenge? We won't know until we look for them. Or, more likely, until we let the perspective that others bring reveal them to us as we listen. I would love it if we could find some words that would allow us to sing this carol in a way that reveals its original integrity to us, that lets us glimpse the respectful interplay between 17th century theology and Wendat spiritual understandings. I would love to see that. I hope we can pull it off. But I also have to say that that would be for our benefit. I don't know whether it would actually contribute to reconciliation or not. Because in our history, the Christianity that has abused so many indigenous people has done so much damage that we have to now prove that we know how to be respectful. We can't just run back 400 years to a great example from the past. We have to listen to what our indigenous neighbors are saying now. We have to listen long and hard before we start to share what we consider important. If we want to make straight the way of the Lord in Canada today, we have to start with the paths that we've already twisted. Amen. Let us join our hearts in our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession, which will conclude with the sharing of the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. God of all ages, you have seen so many things happen. You always encourage us to strive for truth, to seek always a better, more loving way. And sometimes we get it at least partly right, and other times we make profound mistakes. And often we do that when we really should have known better. Loving God, help us as we struggle with things that have a terrible, terrible stain in our history. Things that we may not have put our hand to ourselves, but were in fact in place and we did not find out or make any effort to find out. Things that have had a profound effect on the lives of others while we went blissfully along unaware. And help us, gracious God, not just to feel guilt, but to seek justice, to seek transformation, to try to become real neighbors to the people who have been hurt, to the people who are seeking a new way forward. And give us, we pray, give us the humility not to insist that we should lead, but the wisdom to follow. Give us the desire to learn, to discover, to make connections that we never thought were possible, to find out things that we never knew existed. Loving God, we celebrate the fact that you reach into our lives to help us, to change us, to bring us forward. We thank you that you have saved us from so many things. Help us in turn to be as generous and as free with your love, to be able to overcome the divisions that come between cultures and languages, between assumptions and understandings. Make us wise and give us a thirst for more and more wisdom every day. And help us as we go forward into this time leading up to Christmas to celebrate not only traditions and things that we've grown up with and think we know, but also to celebrate the core of your gift to us in Jesus Christ, that you've embraced us as family, that you wish to embrace all people as family. Help us never to forget that, and always to make it a core of what we do as we reach out to others. Loving God, we pray for all of those who are facing difficult times now. Beyond the pandemic, there are people who face medical issues. There are people who face issues of isolation or fear. There are people who face all kinds of concerns. Work through us, we pray, to bring the healing that we can, to bring the connection and the love that we can, to be a community of faith that goes beyond simple walls, but reaches into people's hearts. And where we cannot reach, we ask that your Spirit would touch lives, bringing healing, bringing health, bringing hope and comfort and presence. Gracious God, in a moment of silence, we offer you now the names of people who are very much on our hearts and need your touch. We thank you, loving God, for the knowledge that you hear our prayers. And we continue to pray in the words taught to us by Jesus Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our next hymn is found in Voices United at number 29, Hark the Glad Sound. It's also printed in your order of service. Go now in peace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of you this day and forevermore. Invite you to be seated once again and wait for the ushers to tell you when it's time to proceed.
So the music I'm about to play now is from this book from 1685. You can see the cover page there and the actual music of the song I'm going to play. And it's from 1685 and from France. So this is kind of where it's a generation later than Brebeuf, but it's where it's coming from. And we can't see the words on the title page, but included in this book are les Noël les plus connus, so the most well-known Christmas tunes. And one of them is the same tune that the Wendat Carol is based on. So here it's called Une Vierge Pucelle. It's often called Une Jeune Pucelle, and it's about Mary. It's not going to sound the same when you hear me play it. the tune has changed somewhere along the way. The very beginning sounds is the same, the first few notes. And if you analyze it, you can see it's based on the same tune. So, but I wanted to share that with you because it has that link with the Wendat Carol. And yeah, what you'll be hearing has French rhythms, and it's from 17th century France. one.